For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show. Coming up this week, how the Non-League family has united.
You know, I can't thank everybody enough for the kind words, and the humanity that's been shown this week has been fantastic, and it sort of restores your faith in what we're doing as football clubs for our local communities.
More after the tragic death of Daniel Wilkinson. Also this week, why have one manager when you can have three?
I say probably Dougie's the bad cop. Ben's probably the good cop at times, and I'm probably in the middle.
We'll hear about some of this week's FA Cup highlights and the gaffers guiding them. I'm Caroline Barker, and with me on this week's show, courtesy of Audio Boom, the handy app to take us everywhere you want, so to speak, in your pockets, PR man with the Evo Stick and Ryman Leagues, Dave Waters.
Good evening, Caroline.
Evening, Dave. I'll turn you up. More often than not, I turn you down.
Cut me off totally.
Also, alongside Dave, for at least 10 minutes of the show, editor of the Non-League magazine, Phil Brennan. Evening, Phil.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Phil.
I know we're distracting you from watching football, and we won't say which game it is, just so we can hold that mystique throughout. And if you shout, then we won't have to get you to describe it. Phil, I say editor of the Non-League Mag. We've seen several editions of this. What edition are we up to now?
Issue 11 has just hit the clubs as we speak.
And what are people seeing in issue 11 of this fine magazine?
Well, it's very varied. We've got... young Lauren Webster, the CEO down at the commercial manager, I should say, down at Dartford. We've got a bit about chart-topping band Blossoms. We've got Gary Mills in from Wrexham, Lewis Morrison, who swapped Love Island for Canvey Island, and our cover stars, Michael Nottingham, who made the move from Solihull to Salford. But this, as you know, it's full of all sort of varied stories from every level.
How have you found the start to this season? I know that Dave's fingers have been burnt off with all the goals that we've seen flying in left, right and centre.
I've had a fantastic start to the season. I think I've seen 1-0, and that was a Football League game. it's just the way it went. I just happened to be free, and one of my former clubs, Oldham, asked me if I'd come to a game, and I thought I'll take the chance to go and watch a couple of former non-league players, Christian Dennis and John Nolan up at Chesterfield. John was injured, and Christian got 2 minutes, but that's the only 0-0 I've seen. So I've been spoiled, I think, alongside Dave. It's just every game seems to be full of incident, full of goals.
The moral of that story is to always go to a football match with you, Phil. Then I shall make note of that.
And to avoid the Football League as well.
Yeah, well, that too, Dave Waters, that too. Funny you should mention Dartford being in your programme. My team, Chelmsford City, play them in the FA Cup this weekend. People were bemoaning that, saying, where's the magic of the FA Cup in that? I, for one, had I still been involved at Chelmsford, would be rubbing my hands saying, actually, we'll get a decent crowd. Because we should get many coming across from Kent, and we should get a few in. And fingers crossed, there's no outright winner in that one. We're on a good run of form. They're doing all right in the league. So hopefully it should be a pretty big one. But have you seen any... We're going to talk FA Cup later, Phil, once we've cut you off. So do you want to get anything in on the FA Cup right now?
Yeah, I've been to a few. I've been to one in each round up to now. Obviously, I've seen three rounds so far before this weekend. So I think I saw the oldest club, Sheffield, win at Ramsbottom, which wasn't a great game, but the goals were good. and I saw Trafford end Cheadle Town's FA Cup run, and Cheadle Town had had a great little run in the cup, and you know, they're a local side to me, and they score a lot of goals, so I thought I'd go and watch it, and it was 5-2. So everywhere I go, these goals.
The goal guarantee. Phil Brennan then staying with us for the next 10 minutes. Dave Waters from the Evo Stick and Rhyme Leagues also with us on the Non-League Show. A reminder, if you've got anything you want to comment on, you can get in touch with us at Non-League Show on social media. But first this week, fixtures in the Evo Stick Northern Premier and non-league matches around the country will pay their respects to Daniel Wilkinson this weekend. The Shore Lane defender collapsed and later died during a cup game at Brighouse Town on Monday. The former Hull City youngster was treated on the pitch before being taken to Halifax's Calderdale Royal Hospital. Paul Quinn is manager at Brighouse Town.
Difficult really to express in words what we've been through as a club and what the local community has been through, what Shore Lane have been through, and most importantly, Daniel and Daniel's family and his friends. You know, it's just been a devastating week, and I think I speak for everybody when life's firmly put in perspective when things like this happen, and football and results and league tables and cup competitions are firmly at the back of his minds this afternoon. And all we're wanting to do is concentrate on supporting Daniel's family and everybody, our friends now at Shore Lane. I think there's been an unbreakable bond now formed between the two clubs, and it's been a devastating week for everybody. And we've just got to try now, take each day at a time and help each other.
the way that the non-league family in any of these instances pulls together is always incredible, but this week more so than the most, just the messages that you've had in, the response that you've had from anyone.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I've been involved in non-league football all my life, really, with my dad being manager and me touring around with him when I was a kid. You know, you see what non-league football means to people and the local communities, and the messages of support we've had as a club, and I know that Craig Elliott and his staff and players have received, has been absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, I can't thank everybody enough for the kind words, and the humanity that's been shown this week has been fantastic, and it sort of restores your faith in what we're doing as football clubs for our local communities. And you know, it's been fantastic. And I know for a fact that Barry and Jill, Daniel's father and mother, who I spoke to last night on the phone, are taking great comfort from all the messages that have been received and that they've received as well. And that's of paramount importance now, that we support his mother, his dad, his girlfriend, his sister, all his family, and that's going to be our number one objective now. You know, personally, I'm going to use Daniel as an inspiration every day of my life now. I'm never going to forget Monday night. And, you know, it's been difficult to take. You know, as a manager, you deal with a lot of things, but I'm certainly not trained to deal with these types of situations. And we've just got to do the best now to recover and help each other.
That's the point, isn't it? You're not trained to deal with this. Obviously, you were saying about sitting down and talking to Shaw Lane and their management team as well. But has that helped?
Yeah, I mean, we've you know, that's been at the forefront of my mind, is supporting people. And I want to give my players, and you know, that's the advice I've been giving to Craig as well. Not that I'm in a position to give that, but from the advice I've received, that we do need to talk, we do need to be open about it. I want the players to feel comfortable coming to me or coming to some other member of our coaching staff, or even going to an external agency. It's critical now that we support each other through this. There's going to be varying degrees of emotions going on. Me, for one, I've had to, you know, I'm not ashamed to say I've had to pick up the phone and get some support in terms of how I'm dealing with the situation. It's not easy. And, you know, I've got a duty of care now to make sure that my players feel supported. And I think that's something I would like the Football Association and other organisations to look carefully at, in terms of the response that clubs get when these situations happen. Because, you know, football sometimes gets a bad name, but it's human beings that are affected by this, not just players as well. We had a good crowd there on Monday. I'm a teacher myself. Some of my students were there on Monday night watching the game, and they were affected by it. And it's the wider ramifications, and we've got to support everybody now. And that's the key message. We're trying to provide as much support as we can as a club. I'm sitting down with the players tonight. We're going to have an informal meeting just to see where we're at. And then we've got to try and think of some strategies, and we've already planned carefully with that. We're speaking to some people about how we're going to move forward, and I've been in close contact with Craig Elliott, the Shaw Lane manager, and you know, we're going to do everything we can to support everybody that's been affected.
There will be a moment where you look at how you remember Dan and how you honour him. You say you want to honour him every day of your life, and I'm sure you will do that. Have you thought more about the kind of education that non-league clubs can go through, the support that they can go through? Is it too soon for that right now, to stop anything like this happening again?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm personally trying to draw any positives I can from the situation. I know that seems to be a strange thing to say, but I know that Daniel's parents, I mean, spoke to them, and they're two absolutely amazing people. You know, the strength that they've shown as a parent myself, I can't understate, you know, what they must be going through and the strength they've shown. And, you know, I think we owe it to them to find something to get out of this. And there is some, you know, things that are screaming at us as a society. And, you know, I've signed a petition this morning about making defibrillators more easily accessible across the country. I think that's key. We were really fortunate on Monday night that we had that as a club. You know, that's something that we, through a charity called Goals for Hearts, through Lee Orton, we managed to access a defib 18 months ago. We used it on Monday night, and okay, you know, we all know it didn't have the desired effect, but I'm certainly at a bit more peace of mind. And I know it was an easier conversation, not an easier conversation, that's the wrong word, but a more comforting conversation to let Dan's parents know that we did everything we possibly could as non-medical professionals to help Dan in that first 10 minutes. And, you know, I would hate to think of anybody in a situation where they haven't got access to that equipment when something as difficult as that happens. That's something we've got to look at now as a non-league community, as the leagues, as the Football Association. You know, for me, it should be mandatory at any level. You know, I've thought about it. Should it just be mandatory at our level and above? No, I don't think it should. I think at any level, any sporting organisation, I think there needs to be something in place that says that there must be a defib available to give people an opportunity, to give people a chance. And that's, I think, as you know, as human beings, we deserve to give people an opportunity to survive things like this.
Your match this weekend has understandably been postponed. What are the key things that you'll be saying to your players when you do sit down and have that chat?
It's been a difficult day today, planning for tonight, trying to gather my thoughts and you know, I can stand up and deliver a team talk. I can give the hair dry treatment at half time, but this is a different ball game, and I've had to think carefully about what I'm going to say and the advice I'm going to give. And I think the message that I'm going to leave the players with will remain private between me and the players. I know exactly what I'm going to finish off by saying, and I just hope that it helps the players, it helps us as a club, it helps us move forward. Saturday, we felt there was no other decision but to postpone the game because obviously the incident happened at our ground, and just out of respect, I know Shaw Lane are still debating whether to play or not, and their decision will be fully respected by us. If they do play, we will be there as a squad and as a club to support them on Saturday emotionally. And then we've got to cast our minds to Monday night. We've got a game. We're going to have to train between now and Monday. We're going to have to try and start working our way towards that game, and then we've got some ways in which we're going to try and honour Daniel on Monday night. But it's not just about Monday night. You know, this is going to be a lasting memory for both football clubs. You know, I'm personally going to make sure that something positive comes of the terrible, terrible week that everyone's experienced.
Paul Quinn, manager at Brighouse Town. Well, after the awful news, non-league clubs around the country paid their respects. Some of those messages included Hinckley saying our thoughts and condolences are with Daniel's family and friends and everyone at Shaw Lane. Hull City, where Daniel, as we were mentioning, signed his first pro contract back in 2010, said a minute's silence will be held ahead of kick-off against Arsenal in memory of Daniel. And Whiteleaf FC said dreadful news about Dan Wilkinson. Little over a year since the loss of Junior Jan, who collapsed at our ground. RIP to Daniel. Just some of the many messages then for Dan Wilkinson. And the loss of Daniel has once again seen calls for defibrillators, as we were hearing just then from Paul say, to be at every football ground in the country. Astley Mulholland plays for Evo Sticks side Glossop North End. And 11 years ago, his brother passed away through a cardiac arrest while playing football. He joins us now. Hi, Astley.
Hi.
Must be a tough week for you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it just brought it all back, really, you know. And even though I didn't know Daniel himself, but I know a lad that played in the game. And I was just, when I got home from work and stuff, I was just lay there thinking about it. It just, like, basically brings it all back. And I wanted to try my best to do, you know, do something to help the cause and raise awareness for it.
Hi, Ashley. It's Dave Watters here from the Northern Premier League as well. It was terrible, the events the other night. Now, your brother, obviously, I think you've been working to publicise, educate people in CPR and the need for defibrillators ever since, haven't you? And this has prompted you to get your campaign going again, sadly.
Well, yeah, this is it, really. I want to try and raise awareness for it. Not just for that, I just wanted to, you know, try and get medicals for all the lads, you know, in football, and not even just football, just sports, you know, at the start of every season to see if they are fit and well to carry on for the rest of the season. And I think that can, you know, decrease, you know, the death, you know, the death toll that's happening every season.
Well, you know, down in the Ryman League last year, after, I think Caroline mentioned it, Junior Diane died, Tonbridge Angels, they organised a fantastic programme to, I think, 6,000 players, young players in Kent have been screened. And is that something you'd like to see maybe the FA take over and have it, you know, nationwide?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love that. I'd love to be involved in anything like that. I mean, I've emailed the FA, I've emailed a few clubs to try and, you know, to try and push things. And, you know, I'm also setting up a charity and stuff and, you know, webpage and just to try and to push it as much as possible.
Well, I think you might get a good reaction as well, because if you remember after Fabrice Muamba, three or four years ago now, well, all the leagues got together with the FA and the British Heart Foundation, and I think hundreds of defibrillators were subsidised for clubs, so they cost about £300 rather than £1,000. So I think they might give you a good reception.
Yeah, well, I think we have got them in. I think it's up to maybe tier six, but I want to get it lower than that. I think it should be. I think it should be, you know, every sport possible, you know, in especially the lower leagues, because you don't get the, you know. All lives matter at the end of the day.
That's right, yeah.
And I just believe that, you know, everyone should be, you know, just be careful and be aware of it, because you just never know.
We were hearing from Paul, that the manager at Brigg House, actually saying that he signed the petition, saying that they did have a defibrillator. But yeah, like you're saying, you want to go one further. You want these medicals to happen then?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, the defibrillators are one thing, but yeah, I want to take it further. But obviously, that's the first step. I mean, I don't think all non-league clubs will have them.
Okay, Assi, we can hear you at training at the moment.
Yeah.
I know that you've talked a lot about your brother and how you want to do something in his memory. And I think Paul was saying that too. It's that kind of sense of, what can I do now? What can I do now that's positive for the future?
Well, yeah, that's it. I'm just gonna try and push everything I can, and you know, set the charities up, do, you know, charity games, auctions, just everything, just to try and raise money, just to get equipment, and just so everyone knows basically what to do if it occurs again and stuff like that, you know, the medical training and stuff.
I think Asti, your call for screening, if that was taken up, would be fantastic, because sadly, by the time you get to the stage where a player might need a defibrillator,
exactly, yeah,
or CPR treatment,
I just think at the start of every season, if everyone goes to medicals and it comes back, you can't play football. Yeah, they might be downhearted for a week or two, but, you know, these families are not grieving for the rest of their life, you know what I mean?
Oh, of course. If you've got something wrong with you, you're told, that's it, really, isn't it? Just, I think we'd all rather
echo that. Asti, thanks for taking some time out training to talk to us. All the best of luck with the petition, and we'll give it a plug as well, and we'll put it on our Twitter site too. That's Asti Mulholland joining us then from Glossop North End. He set up the petition that many of you will have seen already on social media. You can follow Asti. He's Asti24, at Asti24, for more about his petition, or we'll put it on our social media pages at Non-League Show. Phil Brennan was listening to that, and Phil, when Asti says how difficult it's been for his family and wanting to do something positive too, it almost seems trite, doesn't it, to talk about moving on. But hopefully something will come from what has been another tragedy in non-league football.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was up in my area as well, Asti's brother. So it was, you know, as soon as I heard Asti speaking there, you know, we've actually left a message for him today to get in touch, because obviously we're looking at mentioning something in the next issue, and it'd be nice to put a positive sign about how far he's come, and you know, give people the details to get in touch, because it doesn't happen too often, but once is too often, I suppose. So anything that can help sort of stop it happening again, and you know, I agree with Asti completely that the lower down you can get, the better. Get as much medical information out there, you know. And I know a lot of junior clubs are getting defibs putting in now through I think it's Kieran's Cause, the charity that sort of puts defibs into junior football clubs. So there is, you know, there are people out there that are aware that football clubs need these things, but I do think it's one of the things that gets overlooked. And not through any sort of sense of cost cutting. I just think it's one of those things that people aren't aware that they should have.
And as Paul was saying earlier, you won't have heard this, Phil, but he said at least we could say that we tried, because we had a defib there, and we can say we can try. But Asti wanting to move it on a step and say, all right, if we can get the medicals too, like any of these things.
More preventative, that's the thing.
Absolutely. But like any of these things, it's the cost when it comes down to these clubs that are based on volunteers. But as Asti so well put it then, you know, what cost on a life for the future? You are listening to the Non-League Football Show. Let's bring you a couple of other stories then from this week. A reminder, though, if there's anything that you've missed throughout the programme, you can catch up with us on social media. We're going to talk FA Cup later. We've already had the highlights, according to Phil Brennan. A story that broke today in the FA Vars. I don't know if both of you saw this, about Clapton ordered to replay their Vars tie with Hertford Town. And this is all about a late player registration. They're going to have to replay it too. This is Jakob Sayer in their tie with Hartford. It's about registration of him. I'm not going to give you the rule, though. Both of you probably know rule 15, bracket H, bracket I.
Are you going to say some common sense has been shown here? And rather than kicking the club out, they're maybe giving them a second chance.
Well, the first round qualifying tie to be replayed at the conclusion at Hartford on Tuesday the 20th of September. Common sense, would you say, Phil?
It's an awkward one, isn't it? Because you don't want to be drawn into any controversy. But again, it's just something else that seems to be sort of coming into the game, where I would always like to see a game played rather than, you know, a tick in a box saying, right, you're out. You know, I mean, a game should be played on grass no matter what. I mean, I was, funny enough, I was at the Hyde versus Northwich Vicks game last year that and that Dave will have obviously been involved in that had to be replayed. You know, and at the end of the day, a game should be won and lost on grass. So, you know, you sort of think, well, common sense has prevailed, as you say.
I'm just thinking back though to all the times over the years on this show that I've said, well, you know, the rules are the rules. The clubs know them at the start of the season and they need to stick to them. So slightly worried now, but I don't know the details of this case, but what possibly was it where someone's claimed a fax was sent?
We love a good fax, don't we?
Yes. Get rid of them.
Just the fax, ma'am. Just the fax.
That's how we haven't got Dave Anderson here. He didn't get the fax tonight. He's off on holiday. A couple of other stories just want to touch on with you both before we let you go, Phil. Did you see that Jim Harvey, Altrincham are in all sorts of problems down the bottom of the National North. But apparently they're going to get a five-figure windfall for Duncan Watmore. So the England under-21, he went to Sunderland, didn't he, in May 2013. But they included a number of add-ons in the deal. So they're going to get some money now, which should hopefully help Jim Harvey sort things out at Altrincham. He's one of those. I struggle to say wily old manager because I don't want to insult Jim Harvey, but he's kind of been there and done that.
He's good old fireman Jim, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's literally been around since I started in non-league football 20 years ago, I think, almost. Yeah.
Again, you know, he's somebody that I know quite well, and Jim does a great job wherever he goes. None more so than, and it's great, you know, you're looking for a manager. Right, what was his last game? Well, his last game was lifting the FA trophy. Yeah, we'll have him. You know, and he did a great job at, you know, and he only just failed to stay up Halifax in the end. So I think it's nice to see him back in football. He's a nice bloke, and you know, well, you know, everybody knows who speaks to him. He speaks well, he's good with the media, and best of all, he's good on the football pitch. You know, he gets teams out of trouble. So I think Altrincham, it's nice that they've got a windfall, and it's something I suppose they knew that was coming. And with every game, they were thinking, I hope he gets on today, so it's another game under their belt. So, and well played, Duncan, for actually making a good career from moving on out of non-league football. And he's one of those unsung ones that people talk about, your Vardys and people like that. But Duncan's, you know, he's had a similar impact on, you know, not so much, you know, the higher scale that Vardy has, but he's a very, very good player.
And there's your kind of savviness, isn't it, when you're involved in a club, is making sure the contract's right, making sure that you do.
I think the FA should have some kind of workshops for clubs about sell-on clauses, because every now and again, well, not every now, almost every other week, we hear about someone being sold, and it's fantastic news for the club. All clubs, but we often hear about the ones that don't have that, and they end up with we've got a pre-season friendly next season, you know, which is great and it's money, but it's nothing compared to what.
Well, I mentioned Dave Anderson's not here. He's obviously had a few of those clauses in his time, hence why he can still afford his holidays. Phil,
hope he's listening.
He will be. Phil, we're going to let you go. Thank you, as always, for coming on. One thing we should definitely look out for then in the magazine. All of it, of course.
I mean, it's just, we do, like, I mean, varied. We do something on grassroots. We do ladies in football. We do kids one to watch. Funny enough, one of the ones to watch is a young lad called Charlie Wardle, who we believe has signed a year's pro contract on his 17th birthday today at York. So good timing from us putting that in the magazine.
Can I give Phil a quick plug? Because sadly, as some people know, I did a magazine once and it lasted 11 issues, Phil, actually. So you better keep going. From the 11th one actually didn't come out. I've still got the PDFs of it. But anyway, I was proud of that one, and I got some copies of your magazine sent to me the other day. And I must say, it's a really good read and really, really nicely put together. It's a nice size. It's not quite pocket size, a little bit bigger, but not quite A4. It's just nice design, nice selection of stories. And I thoroughly recommend it to people.
He's looking for a job.
You need a feature writer.
He can have one. There's no pay, though.
No, exactly. That's non-league.
Sounds like the job he does for me. Phil Brennan, as always, a pleasure. Enjoy the next episode of the show. But enjoy the next issue of the magazine, and we will catch up with you soon. Cheers, Phil.
Phil.
Cheers, both.
Okay, shall we talk FA Cup then? I've already bemoaned the fact... Are you blowing your nose, Waters?
Sorry, summer cold.
Is that your feeling on the FA Cup? Yeah. So someone who won't be happy with that feeling is Phil Annette, he of FA Cup Fact File on social media. Phil, he blew his nose at the FA Cup.
I know. You can't turn your nose up at the FA Cup. That's not allowed.
I'm sorry to you all. Good line, Phil.
Yeah, there must be some rule, Article 5.765 on that or something like that. Hey, so we're into the second qualifying round. Or are we into the second round qualifying? Which way round do you like to say it?
I call it a second qualifying round, but in truth, it's really the fourth round of the FA Cup is a better way of looking at it.
That is why you are the man, indeed, Phil. Yeah. You are the man. So what are the big stories then as we head into this weekend?
Well, there's a big story really about the Step 2 clubs that are coming in. So all the National League North and South clubs are entering the FA Cup for the first time. And they've been spread around quite a bit actually this year. Just 16 of them will face each other, leaving 28 to be potential banana skins against lower league teams.
Is that purely because of the way the draws come out, Phil, or have they changed the way that they make the draw, the FA?
No, it's just chance, really. Basically, they have a North and Midland and South split, and there's 44 of those clubs and another load from the rest of the divisions. And it's just the way the cookie crumbles, really.
Are you a fan of the way, you know, do you look at each of the draws and think, oh, that one is my favourite draw or my favourite round of the draw so far?
No, I don't go down to that level of information. But what's been interesting this year, it does appear to be that they've spread the regions a little bit more, so you have got a bit more diversity. I know some teams are facing old foes, but most clubs are facing other clubs they've never met in the competition before.
Well, that's good.
So which are the ones that haven't met that we should look out for?
Oh, wow, there's so many of them, really.
Are you doing what I normally do when someone says to me a question I don't know the answer to? I go, oh, well, what?
I'm quite good at that.
Wasn't the sort of question I was expecting, but only 17 ties out of 80 you've got clubs that have met before, so that leaves you with 63 exciting opportunities to see clubs face each other.
That is quite stunning. 63 ties, and they've never played each other before, the clubs involved.
In the FA Cup. They may well have met, obviously, in other competitions. Right. But yeah, so it's quite a high number, really, when you think about who's left.
Well, maybe we should say, what question would you like me to ask you, Phil?
Well, ask me about the clubs who are going to try and create history. That would be quite good.
So which clubs, Phil, then, are trying to create history this round?
Well, there's a whole handful of them. 24 clubs are trying to make it into the third qualifying round for the first time ever. Yeah. And you have a couple of ties where you've got both teams vying to achieve that feat.
Would one of them be Brislington versus Brimscombe and Thrupp?
No, it wouldn't actually, because isn't that Brimscombe and Thrupp are two rounds ahead of where they've ever been before.
Wow.
Brislington have made it to the fourth qualifying round in the past.
Right.
You could look at Hadley and Kings Langley. There's a tie where neither have gone beyond this round before. Yeah. And I think it's Arnsford and Cadbury Heath. There's another one.
Oh, I love Cadbury Heath. You can understand why. Mm-hmm. Last round, when we spoke to you, you gave us a fascinating stat about, which was my most important stat that I will ever read out again in my life. And I'm going to get it wrong now, so I won't. But we were talking about the number of letters, most number of letters playing each other, weren't we? Do you remember that one? I remember it well.
I remember it well because you told me you'd love me forever because of it.
Well, and I haven't forgotten that true love, Phil. Do we have anything like that this time round?
Well, obviously, just to satisfy that, there's a couple of ties that vie for shortest names. And you have Gresley against Stamford, and you have Barwell versus Ilkeston.
Premier League boys?
Yeah. But talking of Stamford, here's a good stat. Stamford, when they enter the competition, they are, outside of the clubs who are in for the first time, they're the only club who cannot equal their best ever FA Cup run.
Well, we've got a stat coming up for you. Do you know the team that has three managers that are taking part in the FA Cup?
I was aware of one there. Is it Ashton?
Hold that thought, because we're going to speak to one of those three managers and make your day, Phil. Can you wait?
Yeah, I can wait for that, yeah.
All right, definitely. Well, stay there, Phil. We'll be back with you shortly.
Hello?
Hello, Jay. It's Caroline here at the Non-League Show.
Hi, Caroline. You all right?
I'm very well. You're about to make the day of, I'm sure you know Phil, he's from at FA Cup Fact File on social media.
Oh, yes.
He's the man for every stat, and he's also with us on the Non-League Show. Phil, say hello to Jay.
Jay, hi. How are you? Pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, a nice fella. Obviously, follow all your work on those. Some brilliant stats there.
That's the right answer, Jay. That means he's going to talk about you for till kingdom come. We were just talking, Jay, you won't have heard it, to Phil, about some of the great stats of the round. And of course, yours has to be the greatest of the round. Three managers in action. This is the furthest that Ashton Athletic have got in the FA Cup. For those that... And why don't they know your history? Because they should. But for those that don't know about you, Dougie and Ben, how come there are three managers at the club?
It's one of these. We all played together. Probably about 10 years ago, I met Ben because his dad was a manager of our side. And then we kind of went our separate ways. They were playing a little bit higher than me at the time. And then we, as the years went by, we ended up playing for a team called Wigan Robin Park, and we managed to get them promoted into the North West Counties. And then that's where we all got together. We all became really good friends. And then Dougie retired before me and Ben. And then the Ashton job came up, and we just put in for it. We all went for the interview. Oh, sorry, two of us went for the interview. Dougie was actually on holiday at the time, so me and Ben went. They offered us a job there and then. So me and Ben carried on playing for 2 years. I retired the start of last season. So Ben still plays a little bit, but he's getting a bit too old now, to be honest. And me and Dougie just fall out on the side.
Yeah, I hear that Ben's had to be there because of injuries.
I don't think Ben's too happy with that comment. No, he can still play. Still a very good player. I think Dougie's done him a little bit injustice there. I think he was just jealousy, I think, more than anything.
Now, it was a while ago that you took over, wasn't it? So you've been there a few years now. Mm-hmm. But as I said, this is the furthest you've been in the FA Cup. Kind of what's taken hold of Ashton this season? What's gone right? Obviously, you three.
It's obviously nothing to do with the players. It's all down to us. I think we've to be fair, we had a really good pre-season, and we went up to Dunstan, actually, who have done really well in the FA Cup team. They play Charlie. We went up to there for like a pre-season, and I think we got beat 5-0 in the end, but we'll not talk about that. But we had a bit of a team bond and went out for the night turn. I think it brought everybody closer. And to be fair, we've just kept to the side from last season. We brought a couple of new lads in, but only from local leagues, to be honest. We brought them in, but they've just fitted in really nicely. And I think it's just everybody seems to have gelled together, and the team spirit really that's carried us through on some of these games, and the atmosphere we're getting in the changing room, and lads are starting to believe that we know they're a good side, but we just need the lads to believe that they're a good side. And I think over, especially some of the FA Cup games, they've actually shown that, you know, they are capable on the day of beating anybody.
Dave Waters with us in the studio. Yeah. Dave.
I've seen this three manager thing before at Brigg Town. I don't know if you saw that last year. They had three managers, and without worrying you, they ended up getting... They lost their place in the... Seriously though, between who, how does the dynamics work there? You know, who takes the credit, and you know, who's the fall guy when things go wrong? And I suppose in particular, out of the three of you, who's the good cop, who's the bad cop, and who's fairly mediocre?
To be fair, I'd say probably Dougie's the bad cop. Right. I'm Ben's probably the good cop at times, and I'm probably in the middle. But
you can go both ways then, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going both ways. Sometimes, you know, we can come in at half time, and to be fair, we have done a couple of times this season. We've actually all three of us had a really good goal with them. And when we did that, to be fair, when we played Moslem, we were winning at half time. We actually give them a bit of a talking to, because we just wasn't happy. I think we got a little bit lucky and scored two just before half time, but we was well below where we should be. And then second half, we was different class, so it worked that day. But we tend to be fair, we don't really argue. We're all kind of on the same wavelength for games. And then if it does come to a decision where, you know, we're thinking of playing somebody or a formation we're picking, we'll generally just go with the majority rule and go, say, 2-2 versus 1. So it's normally me that's getting outvoted all the time.
Uh-huh. And what about when it comes to things like, I mean, obviously you've done a bit of time together now, awards and stuff. You know, I'm thinking like in the Ryman League, I think the manager of the month gets a suit. But if there's three of you...
Does he?
Yeah, then the winning managers get a suit. So what, have you had any awards, and have you all been, you know, rucking on a Saturday night going, I'm taking home the trophy or what?
No, we've never... We have like a club of the month in our league where you just literally just get a certificate and that. But there's nothing like that in the league. I think... the start of this season, the league is sponsored by Hallmark Security, and they've kind of, all the management, they've kitted out free of charge to everybody. So you've got to wear them on the sideline. So I don't think we're the best pleased when we submitted three lots in. So, apart from the kit, we've not really had anything, to be honest. There's nothing like that in our league, which is a bit of a shame, really. But
it is. But you're probably not going to win anything, actually, because they're going to look at that every time, aren't they? Going to think, oh no, we can't let them win. It's going to cost us a fortune.
Like I said, Dave Waters is the doom and gloom merchant, Jay. So, I've learned something new. I did not know that Manager of the Month in the Ryman League gets... I would have thought it would be something stationary or something, but no, they get a suit.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah,
they do.
I was thinking about getting promotion to that. So Jay, although Dave's talked about how it works, what about physically the numbers? Because you can only fit a certain amount on the bench.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's fine. We can, to be fair, I think it's about six we can have in our league. Obviously, management-wise, and then obviously you've got the subs. So I think...
you can get three more in then.
So the technical area must be a bit busy at times.
Oh, it is. To be fair, we've got a big change room, so we're not too bothered, actually. And I think the dugouts are quite big. Some away games, especially in the FA Cup, when you can have seven subs as well. So it's that can be a bit difficult. But no, like I said, there's plenty of room there. If anything, Dougie will sometimes stand to the side. But Ben's, to be fair, he's been playing the last few games, and we've had a few injuries, and he has, and that's the reason he's come back in. But obviously he's done really well, so we're kind of getting back to full strength now. We've had a ridiculous amount of, I don't know why lads have so many holidays and weddings and God knows what they do, but it's been a ridiculous season. How many trips they've been away? I don't know where they get the money from.
Yeah, it's something we touched on quite a few times over the years on the show about the key moments. You wouldn't miss a big FA Cup match, but you wouldn't miss a big league match. But
I can't get married that day. I'm sorry.
Just don't do it. Phil, you've been the silent partner in all of this. Yeah, I know you're probably itching to ask a proper question.
I just want to talk about the power of three for Aston Athletic, really, because obviously with three managers, they've already had three FA Cup wins this season. Mm-hmm. There's a three-step gap between them and FC Halifax in the next round.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And if they win on Saturday, that means three rounds further than they've ever been before. So hopefully the power of three will work for them.
Well,
he's good, isn't he? He really is good, this film.
I definitely hope so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got to this stage and didn't even mention Halifax, but that's because we've become the fourth manager for you, and you can only beat what's in front of you. It doesn't matter who it is, does it?
No, of course not. And, you know, and like we said, it's all cliche. It's anything goes on the day, especially in the FA Cup as well. But like I said, there's no pressure on us. We're just going to go out, play how we can, and hopefully they'll make a few mistakes and we can capitalise on that.
Hey, Jay, good luck. You've already taken them the furthest they've been, and here's to another stage further too.
Yeah, and a record crowd as well on Saturday as well, Jay. I hope you get a big crowd.
Yeah, it is. It's going to smash it. I mean, our record crowd's 202, so that's going to be completely smashed.
Oh, that's fantastic. Your secretary must be a very happy man.
Yeah,
definitely. To be fair, they just actually sent a picture. They're all actually down there now doing some work, filling holes in the road and everything. Oh.
You stay where you are then.
I am doing that. So I can't come down.
Media, I've got the media.
Jay, enjoy your day, enjoy the rest of the week, and hopefully we'll catch up with you when you make it through to the next round.
Yeah, brilliant. That'll be some achievements.
Yeah, cheers, nice. Jay.
Thank you very much, then. Bye-bye.
One of the three managers down at Ashton. I should say, obviously, nice, that the caveat, of course, Phil, is good luck to Halifax, and hopefully we'll talk to them in the next round too. We don't like to be biased here, although, of course, Chelmsford City need to beat Dartford. Phil, great stats as always from you. Have we got any for Halifax fans then that are maybe seeing the power of three and now quaking in their boots?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they haven't been knocked out at the second qualifying round stage for 8 years now. So
I'm glad we didn't tell Jay that.
Good job Jay's gone already.
Exactly, that is that's a start and a half, actually.
And the first round proper they've done a number of times in the last five
years. That's right, yeah, they've reached that three times in their short history.
Blimey. Okay, all right, that's enough for Halifax. And they'll be going there, as you were saying, Dave Waters, in numbers this weekend. Mm. So this is the best day of the week for you when FA Cup swings round again, Phil. So where will we find you on Saturday?
Yeah. Yes, on Saturday I'm going down to watch Whiteleaf against Welling United. I sense a giant killing. Welling not doing so well in the start of this season, so I think we might see an upset of sorts down at the Leaf, and I'm looking forward to that.
if there is anyone, a man for all seasons for an upset, it is you, Phil. Phil, yeah. A reminder of where people can follow you, and they already will be. But let's just give them another tickle again.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at FA Cup Fat File.
And that takes you to your wonderful blog where you can read all the previews to that coming round.
Exactly, yeah. So there's a tie-by-tie preview for all 80 matches.
Phil, I've tried to hang up on you a number of times. This time it's for real. Our love can't take it any further. Phil Annette, thank you as always.
See you, Phil.
Cheers, Darren. Cheers, Dave. Great to talk to you.
You too, sir. Bye, mate.
Phil Annette's then at FA Cup Fact Far. I love the fact that Jay knows, and they probably all do.
They
go on and see the stats that are coming out about their side.
Yeah, no, you do. If you've only got to look at Twitter, really, and you see all the people that will be retweeting FA Cup Fact Far stuff, and you'll tomorrow and, well, Saturday, wherever we are now with this show, wherever you're listening, just, you know, have a look on Twitter, even if you've never looked at it before, and you'll probably find your club has picked up something that he's come out with. That's an amazing thing you just said then, by the way.
Mm.
I'd love to, I'm going to have a look to later, but I'd love to read all those previews. Is he married? Does he work or what? Because there's an awful lot of work there he's putting into it. It's a real love job, isn't it?
You know, he's going to propose to me in the near future.
Indeed. He'd be your perfect husband, wouldn't he? You could just talk non-league for the rest of your
If you'd like to advertise as the role of my perfect husband, at non-league show on social media. Well, that's almost it for us for this week. Dave Anderson returns next week. A reminder, you can keep up to date with all the news throughout the week. Find us on social media at non-league show. There's bound to be a number of matches this weekend, Dave, that do pay their respects to Daniel Wilkinson, who we were talking about at the very start of the show, not least in your league, of course.
Yeah, the Everton Northern Premier League, every game this weekend, and actually every game since the tragic events, that there's been a minute silence held. But all the clubs this weekend will be paying tribute, holding a minute silence to remember poor Daniel. And on Thursday night, the Shore Lane, we're all meeting the club, and obviously the players to decide what they want to do this weekend and what Daniel's parents would like them to do, which is the most important thing. And the league is literally, we're just waiting for them to tell us what they want to do. And if they want to play, they'll play. And if they want to give it another couple of days, then we'll wait. And that's the only way it can be done.
If you want to find out the latest then on what's happening this weekend, just check out Evo Stick on social media too, and you'll get the latest from Dave and the team there. Whichever match you're going to this weekend, we hope you enjoy it. We hope we get the result that you want to, be it in the FA Cup, be it in the league, and probably we'll be talking about it next week. If there is something you want us to talk about, just get in touch with us. You can follow us at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson might do that. Might even send a postcard.
Yeah, he might even come back to us.
You reckon?
Yeah, possibly.
Not his
golf course.
Until next week, goodbye.